what we're going to cover today, when we're done, I hope it makes you want to stand in awe. Because we're going to look at the book of Hebrews. We just finished that, reading that for our Sunday morning scripture reading corporately that we did in April. And I just want to take some time and look back at that and look at some of the scripture there that was laid out before us. And it really is a book of building faith. And I hope it's very encouraging and exhort you to strive to do better and strive to serve our Lord and our King, Jesus the Christ. And what I initially want to start with Hebrews is looking at the better verses and the so let us. Jesus Christ is better, therefore the new covenant is better, and so let us. What are we going to do with that? And we're going to look at those verses. We're going to really focus on the let us verses, but I do want to take a moment and look at a couple of the better verses. As I was reading through this independently, I just sat there and jotted down every time I saw that better and the lettuce, and I think I got most of them. If I didn't, let me know if I missed any. Before we begin, better. In our common vernacular, we think good, better, and best. Well, first of all, this is comparing two things, the old and the new, and so the better is best. And when you look at the Greek, I just took this straight out of Strong's. Better is nobler, it is best. It's derived from bigger, dominion, might, power, and strength, which greatly explains our Lord. And then, let. We often think our modern vernacular, hey mom, let me play Xbox right now, or let me play new PlayStation, kind of allow. This is much stronger use in this. Let is to hold down, hold fast, possess, retain, seize on, stay. In other words, let us stay in the Word. Let us seize upon these words. Let us act upon these words. That's what let us is here. So let's first look at Jesus is. A good spot to begin is the beginning. Chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 4. I'll be reading from the New King James. That's for Kurt back there. Those of you who were in class know why I said that. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then it goes on in this chapter and explains that. And we're going to go back to verse 1 and read through verse 15 or so here, explaining that. And notice what it says about Jesus. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And now in here, it goes on, it quotes from Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, and the Psalms, several Psalms. For to whom of the angels did He ever say, You are my Son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, Let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He says, Who makes His angels spirits, and His ministers flame of fire? But to the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fill them up, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels has He ever said, Sit at My right hand, till I make Your enemies Your footstool? So here we see Jesus is better than the angels, and why? He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's sitting now at the right hand of God. Back in the first couple of verses, He purged our sins. And so there we see how He's better than the angels. These next several verses, kind of just to briefly discuss and not necessarily look them up. I just wanted them up there, so if you want to take note, you could. But in Hebrews 6, 9, it talks about He's a better salvation. Jesus is a better salvation. Hebrews 7, 7, He's a better priest. The high priest of old had to give a sin sacrifice for themselves before they could offer sacrifice for the people. Where Jesus is the priest, He didn't have to give a sin sacrifice for Himself because He is not of sin. And He was the sacrifice for us. So He is a better priest. Hebrews 7, 19, He's a better hope. And it specifically mentions He's a better hope for us to draw near to God. In Him is how we do draw near to God. 7:22, He's a better surety of a better covenant. Surety here meaning a guarantee. Guarantee of a better covenant, that being the new covenant. He's a mediator of a better covenant in verse 8:6, and then in 9:23, He's a better sacrifice. He's not bulls and goats. He's the Son of God, sacrificed once and for all. Now, if we're in Christ and we're living through Christ, Hebrews 10:34 tells us we have a better enduring possession in heaven. Another better, Hebrews 11:16. We have a better country, a heavenly country. This is the chapter, it's often called the faith chapter. And it's speaking of here of Abraham, as he was given, told to go to the promised land, he went. But he could have turned back. But he knew there was a better place, a heavenly country for him. Just as now, we're trying to walk and we're trying to stay in that narrow path, and we're walking and we're walking in the light and we're trying to serve God. We can turn back if we choose. We have that free will. But hopefully you're encouraged and exhorted to stay on that narrow path, because we have a better country. And it says in Hebrews 11:16, a heavenly country. And that being said, we have a better resurrection. And it talks about in this chapter here, specifically in verse 11:35, the persecution that people were going through. But they went through that because they knew they have that better and great resurrection. Because there's going to be a resurrection. And you know, there's only two options. And so they stayed on that narrow path so they could have that better resurrection. So, what are we going to do with these, knowing that Jesus is better, this new covenant is better? How's that apply to us, these verses in Hebrew? How are we going to live them? What are we going to do with them? Well, let us, as it says, let us hold fast, let us possess, let us retain. Remember, let here means seize. Seize on these scriptures, seize on these this teaching. If you would turn with me, please, to Hebrews 4. These let us verses, I am going to read through them. Take a little more time with that. Therefore, verse 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So we start with a therefore. So that means something's been going on before this. And earlier in chapter 3, they're talking about Israel and how they're led out of Egypt by God. And they begin their grumbling and complaining and building the idol, and just, they were a mess. They lost that fear of God, they lost that reverence of God, and they lost that love of God. But that's what it tells us here. Let us not remember that. Let us remember that promise, or let us remember that promise that we're entering a rest. And then continuing on, 11 continues this thought of chapter 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So it's talking about that example of disobedience that was given to us of Israel, that's told to us. Let us not fall in that same trap. Let us maintain that fear, that reverence, that love of God. Let us be diligent. If you're diligent for something, you're working hard for it. It's not casual. So let's be diligent to enter that rest. What is that rest we're talking about? It's that heavenly rest with God. And then this thought continues on in verse 14 of chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest also has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. So here we are, we're to hold fast that confession. What is that confession? It tells us right here that Jesus is the Son of God, that confession we all make before we're buried in the baptism and our old man is buried and left behind and we rise anew. But we're still in this human body and we're still going to have to work at staying that new man and not letting that old man try to pull us back, keep him buried. All right, so we hold fast that confession. And then in verse 16, talks about there with grace that we can go boldly to the throne. This isn't talking about with arrogance, obviously. Okay, it's assuredness. You know, the word hope is often used in Scripture, and as we've discussed before, that hope is actually assuredness. Do as we're reading here, and we have that assuredness of Jesus the Christ and entering that rest, as it talks about in verse 1 here of this chapter. And then looking at chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So, basically, we're to continue to mature. We're not to remain babes in Christ. We're continuing to mature throughout our life. As I said, throughout our life. It's a lifetime job to work on that maturing. And keep pushing on for that. And there's a wonderful promise in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. So we keep going on to that perfection. Perfection here meaning complete, which we have the complete Word of God here that we need. Yeah, there's the mysteries as we can read about in Deuteronomy. You might not understand, but what we need is here. And let us lay hold of that. Let us hold fast to that. And in Hebrews 10, chapter 22, or I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, as he has promised to be faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So as we see here in verse 22, we draw near. Verse 23, we hold fast. Verse 24, we consider one another. Why? Well, verse 22, we draw near because we have full assurance. And as it says, we have been washed. So we should draw near to God, and we do draw near to God that way. 23, why do we hold fast to our confession? Because he who promised is faithful. If you have a problem believing that, read the Scripture and see all the promises that are fulfilled, 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 and fulfilled. So hold on to that. Hold fast to that. When you're having those moments of doubt, the moments of struggle. And let us consider one another. As it says, to stir up love and good works. And to exhort one another in verse 25. We need to do that regularly. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Which it's approaching. Don't know when, but it's approaching. And we need to encourage one another, exhort one another to continue on that path. And then it says in Hebrews 12:1, looking at that. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. So the previous chapter here, we have a therefore to start with. This is a great chapter of faith and all the many examples of faith for us. It says, let us lay aside that sin, because it's a weight. And we've done that in baptism, in our repentance and confession, but then we need to continue to do that. If you sin, God is sure to forgive if we repent of that, because it says in John, 1 John chapter 1. And not laying aside that sin, it's kind of like when you're running a race, whether it's a 100-meter dash to a marathon. Can you imagine one of the contestants walking up to the line and saying, just a minute, I'm going to put on a 100-pound backpack on my back and a 100-pound backpack on the front, and I'm going to run this race. That's what sin is. It's that weight that just bears on you and loads you down until you collapse. So take that sin off, shed it, and you can run this race with endurance. And in Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. Coming back to where it started earlier, serving God in fear, serving God in reverence, because of that great love that's been shown to us. And we have that kingdom that's waiting to be part of. Chapter 13, verse 11. For the bodies of these animals, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned outside the camp. So they have the bodies that have been of animals that have been sacrificed for sin, for man's sin. First of all, for the priest, for his sin, and any sacrifice for the people. They're taken outside the camp and they're burned. And it continues in verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So outside the camp was unclean. It's where they took the animals, which after they're dead, they're considered unclean in the Jewish teaching, Jewish law. Jesus was crucified outside the camp. Jesus came to the unclean, you and I, to all the world. He came to the unclean, was sacrificed that we may become clean again. So let us go to him, let us sacrifice ourselves. And as it says, we can praise him, that's a sacrifice. We can do good, that's a sacrifice. And it talks again about this vision of staying focused on what's to come in that heavenly city. And asks us to do that here too. Let us do that. So a little more about Jesus and whom he is. Let's go back to Hebrews 1. We've already read this, but I would like to read it again. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken to us by his Son, so he's the Son of God, whom he has appointed heir, so he's an heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, created all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here we have the Creator, we have the heir of all things, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who purged our sins. How did he purge our sins? By going to the cross. Why would we not worship him? Why would we not follow him? Obviously, that love that he had for us. Chapter 5, verse 9. A little more about Jesus here in chapter 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's the catching point. for a lot of people in the world. Frankly, it was the catching point for me at the beginning. Obey. See, the world, and all of us at some point in our lives, we've loved that great anthem of self by Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And that's not what we're asked to do here. We need to obey. But whom are we obeying? That's the key. As I've already said, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who's sacrificed on the cross a cruel death, who died for us, came to this world and taught. The author of our eternal salvation. So I'm not to do it my way. It's Jesus' way. And that is a word that people get hung up on, is obey. But we are to obey. But my question again, why wouldn't we? If you really sincerely think about what was done. I know the night that I finally was convicted, drove in the driveway after coming home from a Wednesday night Bible study with Diane. I backed out. We were really late because it was like midnight. And we had been out to eat with the preacher's daughters and just been talking and talking. I kind of just been listening. And I backed out and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to hell." And that is the reality of it. And so that night I went and made the confession of Jesus Christ, Son of God, and got baptized. Because I wanted to be part of this eternal salvation by the author of my faith. And I chose to obey. And there's times that I don't, and then I need to repent. And I do. And I hope you all do that also. Chapter 12, verse 2. A little more about Jesus here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he knows what's coming after the crucifixion. And for that joy, he went through that for you. Through all the world. And we were all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But for that joy of the salvation, for you, from Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he endured the cross. Don't you want to serve him? And in chapter 9, verse 28... So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So, it's not over yet. We're eagerly waiting for that appearance. And we should be. And we should be working with one another, trying to continue to maintain that walk. So while we wait for his return, while we're waiting for that, let us remember some of these things. From Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. To the uttermost. Meaning, he's there to save everybody that will come to him. All sinners. We often look for people who are almost already really good to try to talk to about Jesus Christ. But he didn't come for just them. He came for some of those vile people too. That we look at as vile. And there's been some of those people that have been converted and have joined the church. And we need to remember that as we reach out to people. And then, also, I just wanted to talk a little about He lives to make intercession for us. Again, the King of Kings. You know, thinking the way we think, again, talking about my way and not His way. You know, okay, I died for you and you sin once. Okay, I'll forgive you. Okay, maybe three times, but three strikes and you're out. No, He lives and continues to make that intercession for us as long as we come back to repentance. And in Hebrews 9, 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So knowing these things, that He's there appearing for us, He's interceding for us, let us run this race with endurance. We can do that. We're assured of that rest to come, as we've read. And in knowing this, let's help others run this race. People struggle. Let's help them. And help them to run that race with confidence and with endurance. Let us love God. Let us love Jesus. And how do we demonstrate that? By praising Him. We can also demonstrate Him by loving one another. You know, being obedient, there's that word again, to the Word of God. Now I want to conclude with in chapter 13, and I just want to read this. I hope this has been exhorting and encouraging to see what God has done for us and what we can do in response. But I kind of ask you just to listen. Imagine you're in one of the first century churches and this letter is being read for the first time to you. And just they title it Concluding Moral Directions, but there's just a lot in here, and I'm not going to discuss them. Go home, dig deeper through it. But just listen as I read. I'm going to read just about all of chapter 13 now. And that'll be the conclusion of the lesson. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gates. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Skipping down to verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you're here and you haven't confessed Jesus as Lord, I encourage you to do so today and come forward and be baptized when in a moment we stand and sing. Do that because you don't have this hope that we've been looking at without that. And if you have any other need, you've already taken care of that. If you have any other need that you need to share or have prayed for, I should say, please come forward as we stand and sing.